Hey everyone, this is Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I am going to come and do a video today related to the subject matter of the law of first mention. I've been getting some questions about this. And so I decided to do some digging around and put together a little video regarding it. So let me say at the outset, I have no problem with the law of first mention when it's used properly. I don't hate the law of first mention. I don't have a problem with it. I certainly don't hate it, but I do think that we need to, number one, understand it, and number two, understand how it's going to be properly used. Because I do think it is and has been very misused as far as a principle or a tool of hermeneutics. So hermeneutics, if you pick up a book, hermeneutics is the science which furnishes interpretation. It's a big word, and there's a particular hermeneutical method that gave rise to dispensational theology, and that is the literal grammatical historical method of Bible study. And there are different principles that are included in that. One principle is the law of first mention, or the principle of first mention. It is one among many. So we want to look at a couple different resources here to kind of get a handle on this. And I want to start with this article here by gotquestions.org. Gotquestions.org is going to give you sort of the standard evangelical explanation of a given question. So if you look here, it says the question, what is the law first mentioned? Here's the answer. Excuse me. The law or principle or rule of first mention is a guideline. So it's a guideline that some people use for studying scripture. The law first mentioned says that to understand a particular word or doctrine, we must find the first place in scripture that word or doctrine is revealed and study that passage. The reasoning is that the Bible's first mention of a concept is the simplest and clearest presentation. Doctrines are more fully developed on that foundation. So to fully understand an important complex theological concept, Bible students advise that we start with its first mention. So the first thing I want to say is that even the evangelical world, outside of, let's say, dispensationalism, particularly mid-Acts Pauline dispensationalism, even the evangelical world acknowledges the idea of first mention. And they use it to varying degrees. Then there's an example here that they give regarding Cain. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to put a link to this in the comments so that if you want to read this whole long paragraph, you know, that's you can do that. But they're going to use Cain and the first mention of Cain in Genesis chapter 4 as a illustration or a practice run of the law first mentioned in use. Genesis, the book of beginnings, naturally contains first mentions, including the foundations of these doctrines and concepts. Omniscience, creation, paradise, marriage, family, sin, sacrifice, atonement, angels, prayer, judgment, etc. So all of those are first mentions in the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. So I'm more interested in the hermeneutical side of this. You can read the rest of this in the link in the comments in the description under this video. As we can see, the law first mentioned has some value in the science of hermeneutics. The rules of hermeneutics for studying scripture may number from a few, to a dozen or more depending on the scholar or teaching institution. But the law of first mention is consistently included. Studying all the Bible has to say about a particular doctrine, including its first mention, is commendable. And then they misuse here 2 Timothy 2:15, which is a big shock in a mainline evangelical article. When following the law of first mention, we must be careful to always follow the other rules of hermeneutics. We cannot ignore context, for example. The fact that the first mention of a serpent in the Bible is associated with Satan does not mean that every mention of a serpent in the Bible should be interpreted as Satan. The serpent on the pole in Numbers chapter 21, verse 9, is a type of Christ according to John chapter 3, verse 14. So So even standard evangelicals are able to identify a principle here that had some play in the interpretation of Scripture, but not in isolation, not to the exclusion of other legitimate hermeneutical methods, such as considering the context. One of the weaknesses of the law first mentioned is that is the difficulty in knowing what comes first sometimes. As we look at the Scripture strictly chronologically, according to the order of the books as we have them now, or according to the order of the books as found in the Hebrew Bible. So they're mentioning here a legitimate point. When we think about the law first mentioned, what are we judging first by? Are we judging first by the canonical order of the books in our current canon? Or are we talking about the chronological order that some of these things may have been written in? Because we know that the structure of the Hebrew Old Testament, for example, and the way we have it today in our King James Bible is not necessarily the order that the books were written. For example, most Bible students understand and acknowledge that Job was the first book written and that it was written before Genesis, yet Job is not the first book in the Bible. Genesis is, right? So they're pointing out here that a weakness in the law first mentioned is how are we going to judge first mention? Are we going to judge first mention based upon canonical order? Or are we going to judge first mention based upon chronological order in the way they were written? Okay. So the law first mention is not a hard and fast rule, but it can be a useful guideline for in-depth Bible study as long as it is applied in conjunction with other rules of solid hermeneutics. So here we have GodQuestions.org identifying that this is a legitimate principle, but cautioning against its misuse, cautioning against its overuse and isolation and exclusion to other interpretive principles and methods. And that's where I'm at personally. I don't hate the law first mention, despite what may have been asserted recently. I don't hate it, but I think it needs to be used appropriately. In 1907, Dr. E.W. Bollinger wrote this very popular book, How to Enjoy the Bible, a guideline to better understanding and enjoyment of God's Word. And this is a very popular book. I cover this book in some detail in my recently released Rightly Dividing E.W. Bollinger booklet. And this is a popular booklet because it's designed to lay out hermeneutical methods of study. So we can actually look at this, the table of contents here online to Bollinger's book. And let me just bring us up here and we can see what this is about. So what Bollinger is doing in How to Enjoy the Bible is he's trying to lay out in very simple terms an understanding for people of the different methods and methodologies of Bible study. And so obviously he starts with the great requirement of rightly dividing it. Before that, he talks about that the great subject is the Word, and he identifies the living Word versus the written Word and so forth. Then he talks about the great requirement in enjoying the Bible is to rightly divide it. And he goes into great detail about that. You rightly divide it as to its subject matter, as to its times and dispensations. Also, as it is to its dispensational truth and teaching. And then he talks also about the meanings of words in their scope. He talks about understanding the scope of a passage, the structure of a passage. He talks about the biblical usage of words essential for their correct interpretation. So correctly identifying and understanding words are essential in interpretation. He talks about context. Context is always essential to the interpretation of words. So you can't just jump in and make a word mean something apart from the context that that word is used in. And then notice here that fifthly, he has a section on the first occurrences of words, expressions, and utterances often essential to their interpretation. So what I want you to see there is Bollinger is identifying first mention as a legitimate tool in the hermeneutical toolbox, if you will, for conducting Bible study, but it's not functioning alone or in isolation from other things. In fact, above he explicitly mentions why you need to understand clearly the meanings of English words. And he also deals with Greek. Bollinger's a scholar. He gets into all that stuff, which I know some people don't necessarily appreciate. But notice, let's look at what he says here about the first occurrences of words and expressions. So this is in part two under words. The first occurrences of words, expressions, and utterances are generally essential to their interpretation. Here's what he says. This is a simple statement. This is a law we have long since noticed and have never yet found it to fail. The first occurrence of a word or an expression or an utterance is the key to its subsequent usage and meaning. Now watch though, or at least a guide as to the essential point connected with it. So Bollinger's statement there is probably a little bit stronger than the one made here by gotquestions.org, but notice that Bollinger is, he's saying this is a guide. It's either, it's a key to subsequent meaning and usage, or at least a guide as to its essential point connected with it. So he's identifying it as a hermeneutical principle among many that he's listing in his book. But even Bollinger is not suggesting that this principle be used in isolation to other things to establish doctrines. So we have the testimony of evangelicalism here with gotquestions.org. We have the testimony of Bollinger. Let's look at the testimony of Pastor Richard Jordan, the founder of Grace School of the Bible, in the transcribed notes to Fundamentals, FOD, Fundamentals of Dispensationalism. And he covers, actually, toward the end of this class, some of the principles that Bollinger has here in How to Enjoy the Bible. But he's got a section here where he's talking to his students in Grace School of the Bible about the law first mentioned. So let's check out, and we'll be quoting here from Fundamentals of Dispensationalism, and I'm going to start on page 29. So here's what it says. It says, the next principle I want you to see is the issue of first mention, which is one of the principles or methods of study that can be considered sub-principles. So this is not a main principle. This is a sub-principle, meaning it would not be called on in every instance. So this is not a principle, according to Brother Jordan, that is called upon in every instance, or a principle that one can legitimately build large doctrines upon. It's a principle. It's a sub-principle. It's not a foundational principle. However, there are times when you will study an issue, especially if there is something progressively coming through Scripture, that the issue often carries a meaning that will be consistent throughout Scripture. You need to be very careful in applying this principle. You do not apply this principle to everything, lest you come up with confusion. So here again, we have the acknowledgement that this is a legitimate principle, but that it doesn't always work, and that it should not be applied to everything, because if you apply it to everything, you're going to get confusion. And I think that some of the interpretations that have been floating around of recently are manifesting that they are overusing the law of first mention while suggesting that other people hate the law or don't think it's a valid, legitimate principle, when that's not at all the case. What we're simply saying is that it's being overused and overapplied at the expense of other legitimate hermeneutical and probably more important hermeneutical principles, okay? If you try to present some sensible guidelines, I will try to present some sensible guidelines about how to apply it. The first mentioned principle applies to a lot of categories of doctrine, not just to the words or the occurrences of words. And then there's some examples given about principles, events, symbols, utterances, questions, prophecies, expressions, as examples of the use of first mention. And then there are four different rules. It's quoting from page 231. There are about four different rules you will want to be very careful to follow related to the first mention principle. It is like a two-edged sword and either causes light or can cause you to run off into wild speculation. interesting that Pastor Jordan would clearly identify it as a principle that has the capacity to be misused, and when it is misused, it can create many and sundry problems. Number three, he says, number one, accurately locate the first mention. So that would be the question here, that similar to the question that was raised by GotQuestions.org. How do we judge the first mention? Are we judging the first mention on the basis of canonical order, or are we judging the first mention on the basis of chronological order? Number two, never refer only to the first mention of a word. Rather, try to discover if the principle of that word has been previously demonstrated. So sometimes, because of the Bible's use of synonyms, the concept of a word has been identified before the word actually occurs. Be careful along those lines. Thirdly, third caution about the law of first mention. Keep the first mention rule in proper perspective, not overemphasizing it. You should keep its limitations in view. It is not used to establish doctrine by itself, nor should it be used to contradict a clear doctrine or verse. If you have a doctrine that is clear from other study, do not use the first mention rule to say that can't be that way because the first mention instance appearing to negate it. That is an improper use of the first mention rule, not being cognizant of its limitations. It is designed to be an amplification tool or confirmation tool, not the sunam vanam of interpretive things. Too often it is used that way. So I would argue that many of us who have been critical recently of the use of the law of first mention are not saying that first mention is not sometimes a legitimate rule or legitimate principle, or that we hate that rule, but that that rule is being misused. It's being overapplied, and it's being misused and overapplied to create categories of meaning that words can only mean certain things because of the way they are used the first time. That is a misuse of the law. Okay. Number four, fourth principle for use of first mention. The first mention principle is never to be used alone to interpret a verse. It is supportive evidence only, not frontline evidence. In the rest of this study, we will be looking at supportive evidence. But too often, people use these techniques as the primary methods of study. That brings in sensationalism and high-sounding stuff that has the appearance, the form of godliness, but denies the power of truth. I think that's a pretty sound summation. So first mention is one tool in a hermeneutical toolbox. It is not the end-all be-all of biblical interpretation that categorically establishes the meaning of words as though those words cannot mean more than one thing given other contexts, given other different information. So the last thing I'm going to point out is an article from Answers in Genesis. Now, I understand the Answers in Genesis is young earth creationism, and I understand that many who are going to be watching this are probably gap theorists and stuff like that. I'm not taking a position at all on the gap theory, and I understand that Answers in Genesis has its own, difficulties sometimes, right? So this is not a blanket endorsement of Answers in Genesis. They do, however, have this article on the law first mention that I think is helpful, and I will include this link in the comments to this video. So Much is said here that you will read on your own, but they identify problems with the principle. Number one, sometimes it doesn't work. It is as a law that would apply all the time, in every case, in every situation, sometimes it doesn't work. That's really no different from what Brother Jordan is identifying to us in Fundamentals of Dispensationalism as far as his cautions about the law of first mention. Second, the context determines the meaning. So you can't say categorically, based upon first mention, that words only and ever mean certain things. They can mean more than one thing, and to discern that, you bring in a second interpretive principle, which would be issues about the near and the far, or the near and remoter context, also discussed by Bullinger in How to Enjoy the Bible. And then thirdly, it's too flexible to be a genuine principle. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's not a law like, you know, Newton's laws of motion, for example, or something like that, or the temperature at which water freezes. This is the law first mentioned is not a first principle of study. It is a sub-principle. It is a sub-point. The problem is that many are using it as a primary issue. So you need to understand that you can have a balanced view. You can recognize first mention as a tool in the hermeneutical toolbox, but not have it being the end-all be-all principle that you're basing your entire interpretation or doctrinal position upon. And fourth, simply, obviously, a word might have more, might have multiple significant meanings. I mean, it can happen, and there are words in the Bible that this could apply to. So I think we see here then, folks, that the law of first mention is a legitimate principle. It's not a primary principle. It's a sub-principle. And it does not stand alone. And as Brother Jordan said, let me just reiterate what he said there. He said, the first mentioned principle is never to be used alone to interpret a verse. It is supportive evidence only, not frontline evidence. In the rest of the study, we'll be looking at supportive evidence. But too often, people use these techniques as the primary method of study. That brings in sensationalism and high-sounding stuff that has the appearance, the form of godliness, but denies the power of truth. First mention is a legitimate principle. I don't hate it, but it needs to be properly used and properly applied. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this video, if you would consider liking it, subscribing to our channel, be sure to check out the links in the comments. Thank you, and see you next time.